Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Even if you've never taken a yoga class, you've probably heard of some of the poses. Downward facing dog, sun salutation, mountain pose. Based on meditative movements that originated in ancient India, yoga has become one of the most popular mind-body practices in the U.S. According to the National Institutes of Health, 9.5% of the adult population engages in yoga, beating out chiropractic manipulation, meditation, and even massage therapy.
So what exactly is yoga? What are the health benefits associated with yoga? And how does someone go about finding a class or a yoga teacher? Our guest today believes that yoga offers improved physical health, emotional stability, and spiritual peace. Andrew Tanner is a yoga practitioner, teacher, and chief ambassador for Yoga Alliance, the largest yoga association of teachers and schools in the world. He joins us from his yoga studio, Elements 3 Yoga, in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Welcome to Take Care, Andrew. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
All right. We gave tried to give a brief description of yoga, but you're going to do so much better. So what exactly is yoga?
It's a huge question. As you mentioned, it did originate in India thousands of years ago. The original term yoga comes from the Sanskrit word yuj, which means to like yoke together, to have a union. So many people today interpret that as union of the body, the mind, or the spirit. Classically, there's many different traditions of yoga. There's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different styles of yoga practice, and they've developed over the years. Today in America, we have more than 4,000 yoga schools that are training people to be yoga teachers, and that reflects that over the past couple thousand years, there's been a diversity of ways in which people are trying to bring harmony and balance into their body, mind, and spirit. So typically a yoga class that you would experience here in the West would include postures linked with breathing. I think that's an important thing to understand that a lot of the public doesn't get about yoga. They see it as just poses that people are doing, but much more important than the posture itself is the way in which one gets into and out of the postures as movement linked with breath. So breath control, postural movement, and then meditation and relaxation, those are all components of what make yoga, yoga. And it's really what makes yoga different from other forms of health and fitness.
Could you just tell us what the most mainstream or popular forms of yoga being taught in the United States are?
Sure. Depending on where you're at in your life and what your goals are, you're going to want to have a different style of practice. I would say the most popular style taught right now in America is called vinyasa flow. Vinyasa literally means movement linked with breath. And there's slow flow vinyasa, and then there's just flow or vinyasa. And that usually means it's a more athletic style of yoga. You know, you're going to be sweating. It's both a workout. It's detoxing. The movements require some level of physical health to begin with. It's very popular in the gym scene. If you're going to yoga at a gym, you're almost certainly doing some form of vinyasa, or a variation of vinyasa is called power yoga or power vinyasa. So that's one big group of yoga. The other, there's two more kind of main groups of yoga. The next one I would say that's also very popular is hot yoga. And if you've heard of hot yoga, the founder of that in America is a fellow named Bikram. So Bikram yoga and hot yoga are synonymous for the most part, except that Bikram classes are a specific set of 26 asanas. Asana means posture and breathing techniques, and it never changes. And it's typically done in a room of over 104 degrees. Other hot yoga that doesn't say Bikram, it might be not as hot. It could be, you know, in the 90s. So for some people, that sounds amazing. For other people, that might sound like torture. I don't know. The third major style that I would emphasize is Hatha yoga. Hatha is actually a catch-all term for every style of posture-based yoga. In America, if someone says that they're teaching Hatha yoga, That usually means they're teaching a more classical style, which the movements will be slower, more mindful, more alignment-based, generally a safer practice, simply because it's moving slower and less likely to do a movement incorrectly. Hatha yoga can be taught in a strong way, where holding postures for a long time, or can be taught in a very gentle way. So restorative yoga is another form of Hatha yoga. For someone who has a lot of aches and pains and simply just feels tired all the time, maybe from overworking or just having a fast-paced life, restorative yoga can be a really amazing way to decompress. It uses blocks and bolsters and straps and every kind of yoga prop you can imagine to put you into relaxing positions that allow you to get deep stretching. I kind of think of it as glorified napping, though it's actually a deep practice. There's also yin yoga, which is similar to restorative in the sense that you're holding poses for a long time, except that the poses are designed to experience deep stretching in the connective tissue. A lot of people who feel like they're very inflexible, they get a lot out of yin yoga, because if you have very tight joints, for example, tight hips, yin yoga with the proper use of blocks and props can allow one to gain more flexibility. I will say that the most interesting research I've seen and kind of ideas that I've seen out of the modern yoga scene is that we get flexible by the nervous system giving us permission to stretch, as opposed to kind of pushing the muscles to stretch or forcing them to stretch. We have to actually relax the nervous system for the muscles and connective tissue to relax and allow us to get more mobility. That's a big reason why yoga works, because it brings in that relaxation component.
I'll be asking to follow that up in just a moment, but I want to remind our listeners they're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Andrew Tanner. He is a yoga practitioner, teacher, and chief ambassador for Yoga Alliance. We've heard a lot about health benefits of yoga. And one quick question will be, do you have to practice one of those styles or another to reap those benefits? But could you just briefly give us an overview of the scientifically proven benefits of yoga practice?
Let me just start by adding that there's so many other styles of yoga that I didn't mention. So it's worth people to search for the yoga in their area and kind of see what is out there and really do some yoga dating, find different teachers, different styles, and see what works for them. As far as the scientific benefits of yoga, there's a tremendous amount of research coming out right now about this. In fact, just recently I was talking to Dr. Chris Streeter of Boston University, who published a study on yoga and depression. They showed a strong association and correlation between the GABA receptors associated with positive mental and emotional states in people who practice yoga. And they were working with people who suffer from depression. And they showed an increase in these GABA receptors associated with alleviating symptoms of depression in the group that did do the yoga practice. And so what's awesome about yoga is that any one of those practices I just mentioned incorporates breath and movement. And I think that's the special sauce of yoga that's going to bring people more into touch with themselves and allow for the many healing benefits of yoga to happen. For example, like there's some research on yoga helping back pain. In fact, there's a number of studies showing yoga's benefits in alleviating back pain. That being said, if someone is going to a power yoga class where they're doing a ton of back bending and they haven't been taught proper technique for doing so, they're more likely to hurt their back than to help their back. So it's not necessarily that different styles of yoga will give you different benefits. It's that proper instruction in any style should give you most of the health benefits of yoga. I can't emphasize enough the proper instruction part.
Which would be like any sport. You have to have proper instruction and training and support, of course. So, Andrew, how many times a week are we talking about to reap the maximum health benefits of yoga?
I mean, I tell all my students to try to practice every day, even if it's just for 10 minutes in the morning. And yoga has a rich tradition of meditation as well, specifically breathing techniques. So you don't have to roll out a mat or have a big space to practice yoga. It could be as simple as sitting up in your bed, doing a few neck rolls, and taking 25 deep breaths. We could call that a yoga practice. Now, it's not much of a yoga practice, but doing something like that every day, it can change your life, to be honest. I think that then adding in a postural practice, let's say of 75 to 90 minutes, which would be the typical length you'd see at a yoga studio, at least three times a week, and you're going to see some benefits pretty quickly. I mean, I have students at my studio, you know, who come in. I had a woman in her 70s who came in with a frozen shoulder, very little mobility in her body, super tight shoulders, couldn't touch the floor, could barely bend up and down. She started coming three times a week, and she's now been coming for over a year and a half, and she can do postures like anyone in their, you know, 50s. She basically took 20 years back from her life, and we see bodies change, and anyone who's been in the yoga world for a long time has seen people transform their bodies through yoga, and I think that's what's so magical about it. People often think they can't change through these kind of practices. They can.
Andrew, how should someone who's interested in starting in yoga go about finding a class in their area?
Well, they can go to yogaalliance.org, and we have the largest registry of yoga teachers and schools in the world. And they can look for yoga teachers in their area, read about the teacher's past experience and training, and find a teacher that they feel is right for them.
Andrew Tanna is a yoga practitioner, teacher, and chief ambassador for Yoga Alliance, the largest yoga association of teachers and schools in the world. Andrew, thank you so much for your time in explaining yoga.
My pleasure.